Welcome to Shattering This, a unique program, unlike any other, that is devoted to what has become the largest, certainly the most important, and the fastest growing segment of society. To those who have come to realize that the world's political, religious, military, media, and economic institutions, all of them, are corrupt, that they've become counterproductive, that there isn't a way to fix any of them. In addition, we are going to use evidence and reason in the third hour of this program today to expose the fraud that is Pauline Christianity. If you would like to participate in this program that will skewer politics and patriotism, that will attack and condemn religion, you're invited to do so. Our number is toll-free, 877-300-7645. Over 200 years ago, Jefferson wrote, "Governments constantly choose between telling lies and fighting wars, with the end result always being the same. One will always lead to the other." Just think about that for a moment. According to Jefferson, who was easily the brightest, most brilliant mind among all of those who call themselves Americans, I don't think there's that many informed people would refute the fact that Jefferson was brilliant not only for his day, but was brilliant beyond compare with other Americans. Having studied politics, having studied militarism, having studied patriotism, he came to the conclusion that we have been advancing independently on this program. Governments constantly choose between telling lies and fighting wars, with the result always being the same. One will always lead to the other. In America's history, we have fought so many wars based on lies. The lies always come before the wars. The native indigenous population of North America was relegated as savages, heathens, and it was deemed justified, godly even, to annihilate them, to steal their land, to steal their possessions, and to murder them, which the God-fearing, resolutely Christian, devout colonists did with reckless abandon. In truth, the savages were the Christian colonists. That doesn't mean that the native populations were universally peaceful or enlightened. It simply means that if you're going to compare who was more destructive, who was more deceitful, who was more damning, deadly, you would have to pin that label on the Christian colonists. But it didn't stop with the wars against the native population. No, lies were also used for the United States to engage in the Mexican-American wars. Lies and deceptions were used to engage in the Spanish-American War with the sinking of the Maine. The Lusitania was purposefully deployed along with everyone aboard, sacrificed to have the United States engage in a war that it had no business fighting, a savage war where chemical weapons and machine guns were first deployed to ravage the participants. The Lusitania was arranged, deliberately sailed into catastrophe, specifically to lie to the American people about their participation in that war. Of course, the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a lie that prompted America to engage in what had been its longest war until Afghanistan. The lie that is Al-Qaeda and who perpetrated and planned 9/11 was used to invade a country that had no one there who was involved in 9/11. A lie. George Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction, about al-Qaeda ties to invade Iraq, breaking that nation, leading directly to the conflict in Syria, and now the complete destruction of Iraq. Lies. The President of the United States is lying routinely about the events in Israel. The President has actually caused the war in the Ukraine and is using that lie as the pretense for a greater conflict. If you study America's 101 wars, one war every 4 years since the colonists first invaded North America, what you find is that virtually every war, as Jefferson so accurately stated, began with a series of lies. It's those lies we seek to expose and condemn in this program. And then those lies led to war, and the war is broadened in their intensity. It is why we expose and condemn the United States' role in arming the Sunni Mujahideen that are fighting in Syria, and how the lies that they were peaceful Muslims that we provided weapons to that now have become the Islamic State, devastating Iraq. Or the lie that has recognized that America wants to arm both sides now, which was just going to create a greater conflict throughout the Islamic world, with America providing weapons to the Iranian-backed Shiites in Iraq while continuing to arm the Sunni rebels in Syria. America presents itself as a peacemaker while destabilizing the world, particularly with its unmitigated sale of weapons and its use of its military, not only the largest in the world, but larger than the rest of the world's militaries combined. We will continue to expose the lies because they lead to war. And wars always lead to the mass killing of, typically, of innocent people. Sometimes wars lead to lies, the opposite of what Jefferson said. It's not really the opposite in the sense that he says one leads to the other, and the result is always the same. But in war, there are often lies to perpetuate the war. I don't think I've ever seen more lies in association with war than what we're witnessing in the Ukraine between the United States and Russia, with the Donetsk and Kiev regions at each other's throat, killing each other in very substantial quantities and tipping the world to a condition of world war. But of course, the lies that are following the war between Hamas, fundamentalist Muslims, who today are celebrating the end of Ramadan, which we'll speak of here in a moment, that in this case, wars are all about lies. There is no distinction between lies and what is happening there. This is not a tit-for-tat war. This is not about Israeli occupation. It's not about an Israeli blockade. Israel is not occupying the West Bank. It hasn't occupied the West Bank for a very long time. That's a lie. Israel is not blockading Gaza. It precludes Gaza from having a seaport and from having an airport, and limits Gaza to several border crossings from Israel and one from Egypt through the Sinai. Not to interfere with the transfer of money, which is typically charity, not to interfere with the transfer of fuel, not to interfere with the transfer of food or medicines, or any building material? No. Israel has never impeded the transfer of anything that was economic or humanitarian. Israel precludes Gaza from importing arms, and it does a very bad job of it at that. The purpose of the blockade is strictly to screen the shipments to the terrorists of weapons that they're bringing in, not to defend themselves. These are all aggressive weapons designed to eradicate Israel. The Muslim beef with Israel is that Israel exists. They want Israel annihilated. And yet, American journalists on the major networks over these past few days have allowed the head of Hamas to use their airways to lie, saying that their fight isn't as fundamentalist, even though there could be no more fundamentalist Muslims on the planet today. Every one of Hamas leaders is a religious cleric, a religious zealot, a fundamentalist Muslim. And yet there wasn't a single journalist, not one, who said, oh, come on, read the Hamas charter. It begins and ends with Allah, and everything in between is a statement from the Quran or Hadith. You could not be more fundamentalist if you tried. But no, American journalists are responsible for promoting the lie, for giving the lie an audience, for making the lies incredible. The spokesman for Hamas then went on to say that we're not against Jews per se, when in fact all they ever shout is death to Jews. Allahu Akbar, death to Jews. Every one of the worldwide pro-Palestinian, even though there is no such a thing, rallies have all included and focused on chanting the slogan, death to Jews. The leader of Hamas then contradicted himself. We're not against anyone else in the world, after saying that it wasn't about Jews per se. And yet the journalist hosting the interview wasn't able or wasn't willing to say, you just contradicted yourself. Isn't that a sign that you're lying? We'll be back in a moment. Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation. And when I read this, my heart sinks into my chest. To think that CBS and the program Face the Nation would allow Hamas's Khalil Mashal to speak when he is a known terrorist, when he is a fundamentalist Muslim advocating the obliteration of Israel and the annihilation of all Jews. And that he is not only promoting that and has that in his charter, but he's acting upon it. For CBS to decide that it would be appropriate to interview such a man is despicable. If you listen to CBS, beyond the absolute minimum, maybe for something that you are interested in, maybe the fact that Thursday Night Football is coming to CBS this fall. But you benefit them with ratings? Buy any of the products of their commercial advertisers, particularly on CBS news programs, then you're aiding and abetting the problem. Charlie Rose, you are a scum, unworthy of life for doing this, and an incompetent boob. Not only did you have Khalil Mashal on the CBS This Morning program, when he said, we are not fundamentalists, we are not fanatics, you didn't question him. You didn't say, wait a minute, you tell me you're not a Islamic fundamentalist? You aren't adhering to the Quran and Hadith? You are not motivated by Islam. But he has no background whatsoever. He's not a journalist. He has never studied the Quran. He has never read the Hadith. He has no idea what the Hamas charter actually reveals or what this man has said regarding Islam. To allow a person to lie like this and say, we are not fanatics, we are not fundamentalists, who are engaged in suicide bombings and not only sending rockets into civilian areas with the express purpose of killing innocent people, and that being the goal, but using innocent, I can't ever say that, using women and children to shield his rocket launchers. And yet, you can have him say, we are not fanatics, we are not fundamentalists, and you don't challenge that? Charlie Rose, CBS? How is CBS a news agency if it doesn't know that that statement is ludicrous? Then he said, this is, Mashal was allowed to say, we do not actually fight the Jews because they are Jews per se. We do not fight any other races. Well, beyond the fact that his slogans are death to Jews, and the slogan that's being repeated around the world by his sympathizers is death to Jews, his second statement said, we do not fight any other races. So if you do not fight any other races, then aren't you fighting Jews per se? And you think that Charlie Rose, even as a complete ignoramus, might be able to find that contradiction and challenge it? But no. So who was CBS trying to advocate on behalf of? Islamic terrorists? You think that that is a source of news and information and programming that we ought to allow? Tolerate? You know, in this country, if you say, you know, I'm really not comfortable with the homosexual lifestyle in the media, you'll lose your job. But with CBS News, you can air the lies and contradictions of a known terrorist who wants to eradicate a race of people. What's wrong with that picture? He went on to say, we fight the occupiers. Excuse me. Israel is not occupying Gaza. Another lie. It hasn't occupied Gaza for a very long time. And when Israel did occupy Gaza, it was vastly more peaceful and prosperous than it is today. What's wrong with you, CBS? Welcome back to Shattering Myths. So CBS used their position as a broadcast news source to air the views of a man who is engaged in genocide, who wishes to obliterate a race of people, who wishes to eliminate a nation, whose charter, whose public statements are undeniable in that regard. A man who has encouraged terrorism. A man who sends rockets indiscriminately into civilian areas. A man who spends very little of his attention trying to fight armies, but much prefers to attack civilians. A man who uses his own civilians to protect his weapons. And they decided to give him a platform. Whether it was Face the Nation or this morning on CBS. And not only did they give the man the opportunity to lie to America, creating the impression that he was a spokesperson. As he spoke, everything he said was a lie. Everything. And there were aspects of his statements that were internally contradictory. And there wasn't a single person at CBS News. And this is the company that's had 60 Minutes for crying out loud. Not a single person could hold him accountable, was willing to hold him accountable. And you have to say, is that because everyone at CBS News, the producers and the hosts, are ignorant? Is it because they're irrational? Or is it because deep down inside, they don't care that the man was lying, because he's lying for a cause that they support? It's amazing that political correctness has embraced Islam and Islamic terrorism, but it has. And that's largely because political correctness, the religion really of the West and particularly of America, and absolutely the religion of the American media and of American politics, that political correctness was originally conceived as a means to replace the authority of God with the authority of man. And so anything that obliterates, that harms, that attacks is an overt hostility with Yahweh's chosen people and his promised land. Is something that they will embrace no matter how foul the perpetrator. And it doesn't get any more foul than Khalid Mashal, the head of Hamas. He began by saying, we are not fanatics. And yet, almost every news source out of Gaza has Muslims as young as children being fanaticized, speaking of how willing they are to shed their own blood as martyrs because of their religion. It's the very definition of fanatic, one willing and looking forward to dying, killing others for the cause. There is nothing in all of human history that defines fanaticism more than the statements that are emanating out of the Muslims in Gaza and their supporters around the world. The Hamas Charter is a fundamentalist document, fundamentalist Islam. Every leader of Hamas is a fundamentalist Muslim. Hamas was conceived by the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a fundamentalist Islamic organization. The Hamas Charter is filled with statements from the Quran and the Hadith. And yet he said, we are not fundamentalists, and CBS didn't challenge it. Then says, we do not fight the Jews because they are Jews per se. We do not fight any other races. And CBS couldn't even point out that that was a direct contradiction. CBS was unable to point out that the Quran is a more anti-Semitic book than is Hitler's Mein Kampf. But it is. The evidence is ubiquitous. It's undeniable. Allah tells Muslims that in the last days there will be rocks who will say, hey, Muslim, there's a Jew hiding behind me. Kill him. Allah in the Quran says that Jews are so reprehensible, he turned their faces into their asses, that they are the sons of pigs and apes, monkeys. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, systematically hunted down, murdered, robbed, enslaved, and raped every Jew within camel ride of Mecca and Medina. And yet, CBS News, with this history proclaimed in the Hadith, with this history proclaimed in the Quran, was unable to challenge the statements, we do not fight the Jews because they are Jews per se. We do not fight any other races. Then he said, we fight the occupiers. Well, another lie. This is a lie in the midst of war. This is a lie that started this war. The Jews have not occupied Gaza since America told Israel to leave it, to walk out of it. Now, Israel was in Gaza because Muslims had constantly, in their war of independence, in the Six Days War, in the Yom Kippur War, and in the two Intifadas, uprisings against Jews using terror promoted by Yasser Arafat and the PLO, had constantly used Gaza as a place to stage attacks on Israel. And so, to keep their citizens safe, Israel, for a number of years since the 66 war, either that or the 73, occupied Gaza, but gave it up in, 2005, 2006. So there is no Jewish occupation of Gaza. For him to say that is the reason we're fighting is moronic. Yes, Israel has invaded Gaza and is deploying its troops along the eastern border of Gaza for the express purpose of doing two things. Obliterating the tunnels that Hamas has created to conceal its weapons, protect its weapons, and to infiltrate Israel to kill Jews. Now, that's not an occupation. That's a response to the Hamas rockets. If Hamas didn't want Israel to try to destroy its rocket-launching capability, its bomb-making capability, and its infiltration tunnels, all they had to do was not fire rockets. They wanted it. They wanted Israel to invade Gaza because they knew they could play the media like CBS as pawns to promote their propaganda, which most people believe. But that's a lie. Israel is not occupying Gaza. And yet when Israel was occupying Gaza, it was vastly more peaceful, productive, civilized than it is now. Lies on top of lies. He then said, life is not a prerequisite. Life is a right for our people in Palestine. Well, when you say that life is a right, and you say that life is not a prerequisite, then you're contradicting yourself again. That is the inherent problem of the Quran, which is therefore the inherent issue with Muslims. The Quran is so internally self-effacing, self-internally contradictory, that the Quran has two passages that help Muslims deal with the contradictions in the Quran. You know, one place it says that there should be no compulsion in religion. And the next place it says that if a Muslim rejects his faith, kill him. Direct contradiction. One place it says closest to the Muslims are Christians and Jews. And the next place it says that Christians and Jews are infidels. That a Muslim who befriends them becomes as one of them. And becomes an abomination in Islam and must be killed. So what to do of the contradictions? Well, there's so many internal contradictions within the Quran. For example, there are just on a stupid scale about a dozen contradictory creation accounts. And so the answer according to Allah, who is really Muhammad, is that the most recent statement supersedes those that it contradicts. In other words, you throw out the contradictory statement that appeared previously. So under that basis, about a third of the Quran has to be discarded. So why is it even there? And why is a book that says that it has so many eternal contradictions that you have to evaluate which statement is true and which is false? By the way, if it's an eternal contradiction, it means that both are false. But beyond that, how is a book that bases the Muslim's determination of what is true and what is false based upon chronology have no chronology? The Quran is an absolute mess. It has no chronology. The first revelation is found in the 96th surah towards the end of the book. The second surah was one of the last half or last dozen that was revealed. Everything about Islam is backwards and contradictory. We open this program with Jefferson's statement, governments constantly choose between telling lies and fighting wars, with the end always being the same. One will always lead to the other. And now we're talking about what CBS News allowed on one of its programs over the weekend. And it is indeed repulsive that CBS allowed this man to not only lie, but contradict himself without challenge. In this last statement, life is not a prerequisite. Life is a right. Well, I mean, it's a direct contradiction, one of the other. And then he says, for the people, our people in Palestine. Anybody that's, as IQ Ar-Rasuli would say, has two brain cells of logic would recognize that there is no Palestine. There is a Gaza. There is no Palestine. There has been no Palestine. Not ever. There once was a Philistia, but even that was only known through Yahweh's testimony. And if you consider it credible that there was a group of people called Philistines, then you have to give credence to the book where that information is found. And if you do, then Israel and Yehuda belong to Yisraelites and Yahudim. You can't use that term without either being, in fact, without both being completely ignorant of history, knowing that the Philistines were destroyed by the Assyrians 2,500 years ago, and that there is no legacy of them, and there was never a place called Palestine, ever, nor people called Palestinians, ever. So you have to be completely ignorant of history and immoral, willing to lie on behalf of a cause, are degenerate and not being willing to hold a genocidal fanatic who is a religious fundamentalist accountable when he makes such a stupid statement. Or you have to say, all right, there was once a place called Philistia. It was based upon the Hebrew text of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms that we know about these people. They have long since been annihilated, but if we're going to acknowledge that name, then we have to acknowledge the credibility of the book in which that name is found, the only place where there is a record of such people. And therefore, if you do that, then all of a sudden you have to deal with what the Torah, prophets, and Psalms have to say about Israel, about Yehuda, and that it does not belong to people of a religion that would not be even created for many centuries after the every bit of 1,000 years after the last Philistine was killed by the Assyrians. He went on to say, this is a collective punishment. We need to lift the siege. There is no siege. And it's called accountability. It's not punishment. It's accountability. And yet no one at CBS was able to say that. Hamas sent rockets into Israel. Israel responded. That's simply accountability. It's not collective punishment. I know that accountability is a concept that is lost on those who advocate political correctness. We have to have a port. We have to have an airport. This is the first message. Why do they have to have a port? Why do they have to have an airport? They want a port. They want an airport for one reason. One reason alone. And that is to be able to import weapons that will help them in their cause, which is to obliterate Israel, to annihilate Jews, and to be able to do so without the interference of the Israelis allowing the food, allowing medicines, allowing construction materials to go into Gaza, but not allowing rockets and bombs, guns. That's all that the blockade is there to accomplish. That's it. He knows it. And he knows why he is pining for an airport and a harbor. He wants the Muslim world to be able to send the Muslims in Gaza as many weapons, as many bombs, as many rockets as are necessary to annihilate Israel. And yet CBS allowed him to air this message. He concluded it with, the second message is we need to stop the bloodletting and we need to look at the underlying causes. We need to look at the occupation. We need to stop the occupation.